Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
How'd you like that?
I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Here's Monty Poole from the 2 o'clock hour. You can go use the free Odyssey app to listen, but here's a portion.
I know that they're going to be active and talking to other teams, trying to make something happen. But I also know that I don't sense, at least, that Mike or Joe feels like we got to do something right away. I mean, they still have about 5-6 weeks before the trade deadline. And I think that they're thinking, okay, Dennis just got here. Let's see how this looks for a few games and before we start looking at other options in terms of doing something pretty quickly. But right now, I don't sense that they want to do something tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I think they want to play it out for a few days and see how it goes.
Well, he said before a few games.
You did.
And he also mentioned 5 or 6 weeks till the deadline.
Right,
so
5 or 6 weeks till the deadline.
Director of sports maybe is...
No, it's not misquoting. He ends with they want to play it out for a few days and see how it goes.
I get it, but I think the overall tenor of what he's saying is the deadline's in 5 or 6 weeks. They want to see it for a few games at least. I don't think that I heard him say... Yeah, by Wednesday,
they're going to
make their move.
I agree, but I think that in a few days or a few games, they start to further form their opinion.
Sure.
Like right now, they are, as Anthony Slater even said a couple of weeks ago, it is information gathering season. And right now, that's why, like, if you're having a hard time with the urgency of the games, you know, Draymond, no one loses the championship in December. It's true. That's true. But you might lose your roster spot. You might lose your home because you might get sent to Detroit. Like, these are huge games as far as the front office forming opinions. I think they're massive right now.
Agreed. And, you know, you want to talk about until the deadline, and we mentioned it yesterday as you get into the deadline, which is February 6th. They have a game that day against the Lakers. So by the time you get to the deadline, you will have played 50 games. You play Utah the day before the deadline at Utah. So right now you've played 26 and you have 24 more to go. So I think when you look at the next 5 or 6 weeks,
yeah,
that becomes a little bit more of a fair barometer, more than like the next 3 games. You play Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. We talked about it before. You play every other day now for the better part of like the next month.
Right.
It's pretty much every other day, boom, 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 boom. So you're going to get a good idea pretty quick of where you are.
I'm going to bet you that this happens before the deadline.
Well, if it doesn't, it has to happen before the deadline.
No.
I had to do it. You just tried to make
me a
bet.
I'm going to bet you that this happens with some space prior to the deadline.
So before February 1st.
Well, the deadline's what, the 5th?
The 6th.
The 6th. Yeah, I definitely think it's a January move.
Okay. Now, that is something I can sink my teeth into.
I bet you
they make a move before the deadline if they make a move.
I bet you they make it while I'm still in my 40s.
Birthday is January 17th?
No.
23rd?
Mm-mm.
It's somewhere in there. It's
not in that window, actually.
It's like the 12th.
Why don't you just guess every single day?
Yeah, keep going.
Why don't you mind your own business?
Remember in Price is Right when it's that number and then you finally go 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you win.
My ex is the 13th. My late father is the 17th. My brother's the 25th.
Why are you bringing up other people? That's not what we're talking about.
Because I know your birthday isn't one of those days.
That's correct.
And I know it's not early, early January.
That's also correct.
I do believe it's in that mid because you're so mid.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, see what I did there? Whatever, Grandy.
That's a one.
I don't even care. You don't have to grade it. It felt good coming out. January 11th is your birthday.
Dude, you're off by 2 weeks.
Who cares?
Good Lord. Yeah, fair.
2 weeks would be the 25th.
I'm captain. Oh, it's 24th. I'm captain. Yeah, who cares about birthdays? Most over-celebrated thing in the history of mankind and creation.
I care, and mine's coming right up.
I know you care. You're one of those people.
I'm less than 8 months
away.
You
celebrate your half birthday.
February 15th.
Like a freak. I mean.
Get to the stores early.
Anyway. I bet.
The 24th. I won't forget.
By the 24th, the Warriors make a transaction. Want to bet?
No.
Okay.
Because
that was fun.
I think they will make a transaction. Now,
No, they're not sending someone to the G League.
This is what you do.
No.
This is what you do. You do this, and then, oh, see, I was right. They made a transaction. Pat Spencer, two-way contract.
I do not laugh like Farhan. It's not even similar at all.
But what you do is you make these wagers, and I agree to it. You're trying to give me the guru treatment,
the Warriors,
and I'm not falling for
the
it.
The Warriors will acquire a player who averages more than 15 points a game by January 24th.
I mean, I'm not gonna dispute
okay.
that. That's not a big move. Like,
what do you mean it's not a big move?
They got Dennis Schroeder.
Right.
Is that a big move?
Big-ish. It's not like it's not. I mean, it's not Giannis.
Now, if you want to talk about
them, it's not small.
Are they going to land a big game? Are they going to land somebody who's making $40 million a year?
You got to define those people.
Oh, somebody making $40 million
a
year.
So Vucevic is not. That's not a big acquisition then.
No, it wouldn't be a big acquisition.
I think that'd be pretty big news.
That's a
20-10 basketball player in the NBA.
20-10.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
yes. He averages a double double. 20-10.
That would be a good move, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a big move.
We're talking about a big, big game hunting. That's not big game hunting.
That's debate show stuff.
What are we doing here? We're debating, and we're doing a show.
If it goes that way, yeah, we're doing a show. I'm talking about actual Warrior basketball. That's a pretty significant acquisition if they make it.
Well, if you want to just do this for the sake of the debate,
if you agree with me,
I will say no.
No, I mean,
they won't. They
you
will
don't
not
have
make,
to.
No, I don't
I'm
think
not
that
forcing
they will.
You into making a bet.
I don't think that they will because they're going to continue to slide and slip and slide, and so you're going to get to January 24th, your big, big birthday. You get to put the five on it. You got five on it coming up here in about a month, big dog.
Yep.
And
not
by
triggered.
Then, they're going to be two games below 500, and it's going to be Yawn City.
Not going to make me cry, Roy.
I'm not trying to trigger you. I'm just pointing out the obvious.
Let's go to Telmo in the city. Hi, Telmo. What's up?
Be closer to 100 than zero.
Yeah. Round down. Go ahead, Telmo.
What up, Telmo?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing? Happy Friday.
To you as well.
I'm headed to the little guy's preschool holiday party, so it's going to be a blast.
Oh, I bet every parent there is like, just what we wanted to do for winter break, go back to school.
No, today's the day we get to take them home for 15 days, which at this point is going to feel like an eternity.
I'm already
no
looking
doubt.
Forward to
no,
sending
no.
them back. Anyway,
dude,
go ahead.
Hope there's cocktails at this little shindig.
Right. So... Anyway, so I'm calling, you know, I've been hearing all these things, and I think somebody earlier, I don't know if it was on this show or the show before, was like, oh, they should trade Steph Curry for LaMelo Ball and three draft picks and a dandelion wish and a prayer and this and that. And I don't think people realize, as much as we're fans of a basketball team, Joe Lacob bought a basketball franchise for $500 million that is now worth north of $9 billion, the most valuable franchise in the NBA. And they're valuable two reasons, because they've won a lot recently, more so, you know, a handful of years ago than currently. But a huge part of that reason is Steph Curry. Steph Curry is a generational player. He changed the game. He is global. He is an ambassador for the sport. He's an ambassador for other sports. Children love him. Men want to be like him. All those things. You do not just trade that guy away so maybe you can get three games better and get the fifth seed instead of the seventh seed. But that's not a realistic thing. So people can keep on going back and forth. And unless it was to be something so significant that you feel you would keep your franchise on this Mount Rushmore of winners and in that trajectory, they're not going to get rid of Stephen Curry for some, you know, slightly above average league player and some draft picks who we've all seen could amount to nothing at all.
No, Telmo, no, like, is someone...
It was the earlier show, Telmo,
yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, Telmo.
The idea
someone's
was,
suggesting that...
Yeah, Steph goes and plays with his brother and plays for the franchise where his dad was, and you get...
Who brought this up?
Some caller.
Oh,
and
okay.
You get LaMelo Ball, and you get some picks, and you start it over with... You know, LaMelo Ball is an exciting young player, but I don't know if he's ever going to be a one...
I mean, he averages 30
...who is a champion.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I think he's a good young player, and he's having a great year. But I don't know if he's the guy that I would want to build around. But that's what an earlier caller said.
Yeah. I we don't even need to get into the absurdity of the idea of Steph Curry. I'd rather come at it from this angle. The Warriors aren't doing that.
Right.
It is the hardest stop non-starter that the organization has ever known. They will flat out not do it. You could offer them LeBron, Michael, Bird, and Magic at their primes, and the organization would say no thanks. They are more interested right now in this man finishing his career with the Warriors than they actually are in the idea of winning another title, I believe.
Yeah. As they should be, and that's what Monty Poole was telling us in the 2 o'clock hour. You don't trade players like Steph Curry. You just don't do it.
Now, the idea of trading for someone around Steph, and maybe it only makes you a game two or three better, I will say this. Like, you got to remember, you don't get to know the result when you make the trade.
Of course.
So, to me, I'm just a big fan in the value in trying. Like, You cannot be afraid to fail. You cannot not do things. Like, do you know who Gary V is? Vaynerchuk, or I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Vaynerchuk, big, big marketing guru. And I'm a big fan of his. And especially if you're a teenager or in your 20s, you should follow him. Just go to Gary V. You should follow him on social media because he's an absolute master motivator, and he is smart, and he has made a whole lot of money because of how smart he is. And his big message will constantly be, dude, just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Stop being so damn afraid to fail. Stop worrying about what other people think. And I think the Warriors and a lot of professional sports franchises are good at that. They're not worried about what we think. They may be tuned in and they're listening and they know, like, it's helpful to know, but they are not going to be swayed from what they think based on this conversation.
Well, just because you do something doesn't mean that it's going to work, and just because you don't do something doesn't mean that that also won't work.
Correct. But whatever you think is the right thing to do, do it with everything you got.
And they will. And I hope it's not trade young players for some rental of a guy who's not going to help you anyway.
We're sponsored by Safeway. We're open for your Warrior calls all day. 888-957-9570. I do want to dive off for a few minutes coming up next, because you put together a fascinating list of NFL teams that have their quarterback coach combo in place versus all the NFL teams who don't. And let's play with that a little bit. That's coming up on Withered and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Wagyu is it's just a good word. I bought some Wagyu beef at Costco this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Comes in that 3-pack.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, I get after it. Some burgers, meatballs, whatever.
Anyway. Costco's got some sneaky good red meat deals.
Red meat.
Yep.
Bakery, wine. Ooh, I bought some 49ers wine for my dad.
Oh, you did?
For Christmas.
That $20 bottle of Chardonnay or whatever?
It's not Chardonnay, and it was not $20.
Okay. Well, I've seen it in other stores, and I just didn't look at the exact...
It was Cabernet, and it was like $45. But I walked by it.
Yeah.
Major, yeah, but you know what I use? And this is not an ad. I don't do ads for these people, but I would like to. Do you have the Vivino app?
No. Nope.
You know what that is?
No, but I can kind of get the context clues and understand it. It's discount wine.
It's not so much discount wine. It's an app that if you go into the store, and because if you're like me, I'm looking at 100 different wines. I'm like, I don't know what any of these are. I don't know what this is. Is this good? Is it bad? Is it somewhere in between? You open up your Vivino app, and it's got a camera on it, and you just take the picture of the label.
Yeah.
And it's like, and up come its wine score, its reviews, what it's supposed to cost.
Yeah.
In other words, like, what's the average price if you shop around? So if you see your retailer charging you $45 and it comes up and it's like, that's a $35 bottle of wine, you look at that store and you say, that's going to be a no from nice. Me, dog.
Yep.
But I like, this one was like a special issue Niner thing, and it's like commemorating their old Super Bowl victories.
Yeah.
And so I grabbed the one where they won 55-10 because I was a cab. And my dad likes the deep reds. But I'm like, this is a specialty thing. I don't know if Vivino is going to be able to read this label. But I gave it a shot. Bang! Up came the rating, which was north of 4. Anything north of 4 is pretty good.
Okay, it's like it a only 1 to 5 scale. Okay.
It only goes to 5. Yeah.
I thought it was a 1 to 100 scale
well,
on no, wine.
Well,
but
that's the wine. That's its score.
Gotcha.
This
okay.
is its rating.
Okay.
It's like golf. Slope and rating are different.
I get it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it came up, and it was a good rating, and I'm like, that's going to be a yes from me, dog.
And the price was right. The price was outside of the range.
What I consider to be a fair price for a Christmas gift for your dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, off we went. Just because Cheryl Bosa said the word Wagyu, we got that story.
No doubt.
So
yeah.
You're welcome, Costco.
And these are always the weird presents because it's a lovely bottle itself, so it's almost
yes.
like you don't want to even open it and drink it because you want to keep the bottle because the bottle's kind of cool.
But you could keep the empty bottle.
You could.
Who is that? Remember our very first summit? And they gave us bottles of wine that, like, were personalized.
That was at Buon Vino.
At Buon Vino.
Yeah.
With our faces on the labels.
Yep.
I kept that thing. I drank that thing, and then I kept that thing.
How fun.
Didn't you?
No, I gave it to a listener, a fan,
you
a friend of ours.
You gave a bottle
yes.
of wine with your face on it to someone else?
Of course. I mean, isn't that the best gift you can give? Somebody who's a fan of yours, and I won't out him because I don't want him to be embarrassed.
In
but
the face!
Right in the face!
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? He actually did me a very nice favor. His father had gone to Augusta, and I had previously lost my green master's chair. Somehow in the divorce and in the move, I lost my chair.
Oh, I remember that story, yes.
So this friend of my wife actually had his dad buy me a master's chair when he went. Hello, friends. And so now I have again a master's chair. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give you the gift of Dibber. I'm going to give you a bottle of wine with my face on it. We'll call it even. Pretty funny.
That's incredible.
He's appreciative.
I got a lot of chutzpah. I don't have that kind of chutzpah to wrap up and hand over. Here you go. That's from me to you.
Yeah.
It's Mark Willard face wine.
Yeah. From me to you, literally.
You enjoy that now, okay?
Have me. From me to you. It's me. Yeah. It's in one of those wine bags. It wasn't totally wrapped up, but he's appreciative.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Shane in the city would like to talk about wine. Hi, Shane. What are you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Sorry to burst your bubble, but Vivino, the wine app is a scam.
Mm.
And everybody, I'm in the wine industry, local grocer, supporting small independent wineries all throughout California and Oregon and beyond. But Vivino is a huge scam because not only is it bought and paid for by the big corporations, but it is also subject to all the misinformation of a million people who think they know about wine, who know nothing about wine. And really, everybody in the local industry can't stand it because it makes people like myself and my friends look bad, especially because the pricing it lists is something like case pricing from some place in Michigan that doesn't even ship to California. So when people look it up in my store and I'm $3 more, they judge me horribly for it, and I lose sales. So Other than that, Shane,
first of all, I really appreciate the info.
Yeah, shame on
number
you,
one.
Mark.
No,
shame on you.
Number two, I would never judge you. And then number three, it can't be a scam because I have not given it a dollar. So, like, by definition, I would need... Now, maybe you feel it's scamming you, and I can understand that. But I just want to say, like, I'm not...
Maybe it's more of a sham than a scam.
Well, and I have found, because Shane, I consider myself someone who really enjoys wine, but I don't know a lot about it. So if this is collectively what a bunch of dummies think, I'm one of them. And so, like, all I'll say is I've kind of found the ratings that are on there to be, like, commensurate. Like, I've agreed with them a lot, you know, and that, but I don't know what I'm doing. So that's all.
In all seriousness, it is actually a decent consensus. There's some cases where there's, you know, some misjudgments and stuff. It is a good consensus. I'm hating respectfully.
And that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
You did get got by Costco, though, because their private label or, like, their 49er stuff is actually the stuff that they're making tons of money on, as opposed to, like, some actual, like, corporate good wine that is very, very discounted that you can get for a great price. They're, like, making tons of money on that 49er wine.
Yeah, that's, he got hoodwinked. No, you can say it.
No, because he got served. No, because my dad will love the bottle. Like, if the gift puts a smile on my dad's face, then I didn't get got. You know what I mean?
One more thing. For good wine, good knowledge, and good people, come, my South Bay Peninsula folks, come to Piazza's Fine Foods in Palo Alto and in San Mateo.
Nice. You had me at Fine Foods. Thank you, Shane.
Thanks, Shane.
Yep.
Who's scamming who now?
Yeah. Free advertising.
That whole thing led to a free ad.
It's good. It was a good setup.
Nice job, Shane.
You brought it home.
I appreciate the hustle.
There you have it.
He's like, that's a scam, and that over there is stupid, and you got totally hosed. And
meanwhile,
by the way, come to my restaurant, because it's amazing, and all of your listeners will now patronize your place.
You have to check it out. Palo Alto's pretty fun, so, you know.
Why not?
There's all kinds of spots down there, but.
Before we do the football thing, Big D wanted to say something about the Warriors.
Big D!
Big D on Highway 24. Hi, Big D.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you all. Man, I listen to you guys every day. You crack me up, man. About that wine, let me throw a Niner sticker on the bottle for you, Willard.
Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, but anyway... Hey, anyway, I'm agreeing with you. Let's go for that trade, man. Get rid of those Pajeski and them, man. They're going to be the same people next year and the year after that. We've seen it. And now I know why that kid punched dibs in the stomach in front of Mervin's. Remember that?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because it was actually a right cross to the jaw. The year was 1980. And for those who don't know the story, this kid... I was 12. This 14-year-old rides by on his bike, and he kicked out the back tire into my leg as I'm going into the Mervins. And so he rides around the corner.
Why?
And as he rides around the corner, because he was just showing off. He was with his buddy, and he wanted to, like, show off and, like, whatever.
So he sideswiped your leg with a bike?
He kicked out the back tire. So he, like, popped a semi-wheelie, swung the back tire out. It hit me in the leg. He rides around the corner, and as he's out of sight, I shout out, "Friend you!" And I let it fly. He turns around on his bike without saying a word, rides back over, steps off his bike, and hits me with a one piece, skapow, right in the face. And I go sprawling onto the front stoop of Mervin's. He gets on his bike, and he rides away in the Petaluma Plaza, 1980.
Why, you just stood there and took it?
It happened kind of fast, because I told him, find you, and then I thought, I showed him. And he comes back, and it's like, oh... I didn't expect him to come back, and it wasn't like,
oh my God.
There was none of like, what did you say to me, kid? He just got off his bike, stepped up, and skapow, one piece, right hand, and I mean, I didn't really...
You laid out.
Out, on the stoop at Mervin's, Petaluma Plaza, 1980.
I'm struck because, and I know you, so I know this makes sense, because it's you.
Yeah.
But you were 12. My youngest son is literally days away, February birthday, he's going to be 11. The concept that he would just be walking down the street, have somebody sideswipe him, and he would turn and scream out, duck you.
Yeah.
That would never happen.
No, of course not. This was a time when, you didn't take stuff from people. This is back when, you handled your own. And I thought that I was going to get away with a quick F-bomb. And
Jeff.
Yeah. Turns out your boy took an L that day.
I don't understand the concept of you're just minding your own and somebody just rides their bike right into your leg.
Well, these are the days where you had like those, it wasn't a motocross bike, but like a BMX bike. And you're a kid in Petaluma and it's like, I'm out here riding my bike and I'm a cool kid and I got my long hair and I'm just cruising Petaluma Plaza and... Whatever, you see a younger kid and you're going to, hey, watch me show this little punk.
Oh, my God.
So he kicked out the tire on me and he thought he'd get away with it. Turns out he did. Because I told him to duck you. And then he came back and hit me with the one piece.
All right. Well, we've learned a lot here in the last 20 minutes, I would argue. Turns out the Vivino app is a scam.
Yeah.
I have overpaid for my father's Christmas gift.
You have.
And we have unique insight into your adult anger.
Well, that was, you know, as a child, and one thing that I learned that day
that's
is...
That's why you're angry as an adult, and it's awesome.
No, that's only...
You got attacked by a lot of people for no reason when you were a young man.
The reason why I'm angry, quote-unquote, as an adult, and I'm not that angry, but I'll play along with the bit.
I know.
But it's because I lived with three older siblings, two of whom I shared a room with for the first 8 years of my life. And they were oppressive, they were aggressive, they were evil. And so my whole life was taking L's. Every day, I wake up and start taking L's. If it wasn't Mike, it was Doug. And if it wasn't Doug, it was Gale. And if it wasn't Doug and Mike, it was Mike, Doug, and Gale. Your boy took a lot of L's growing up. And it wasn't until I became an adult and I became a winner that I finally started chalking W's.
Yeah, I don't know if any of them have any fancy major market sports radio shows.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. And they've, you know... Since adulthood, the tide done turned, Mark Willard.
They don't.
No, they don't. They don't. So, yeah.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
From whence my anger stems.
Your childhood stories are so foreign and awesome to me.
Yeah.
I can't even. What was the one where somebody threw a potato at you or something?
Well, that was recent. That was during JoLo and Dibs.
Oh, it was?
There was a 6'4" transgender individual who hit me with a potato outside the Tribune building in Oakland. I was just minding my own, Mark.
What is going on here?
Grandy, I'm just walking through Oakland, going to the BART station, and all of a sudden I feel this thud on the back of my elbow, and I turn around, and this stretch four in a dress is glowering at me, and I look on the ground, and there's a potato that had been thrown at me, and it hit me. And by the time I figure out what's going on, this stretch four... In his or her, their skirt, they had gone across the street. So I took the potato, and I threw it 50 yards to try to hit them. Just missed it.
You did not throw it 50 yards.
This is where the whole bit lives, because Lo Neal could not believe that I could throw a potato 50 yards. So
definitely not 50
yards. We actually were going to go to a football field one day and see if I could throw a russet.
I got you for about 32 yards max.
Well, now is different from 8 years ago.
Okay.
For sure. As you'll find out once you turn 50 here in a month.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm in wonderful shape. Let's go to Matt in Orinda. Hi, Matt.
Gentlemen, happy holidays.
Yeah, to you as well.
Yeah.
Hey, Dibs, I just got a really quick one for you.
Please.
You know what all this is, right?
Tell me.
What you're doing to everybody?
Tell me.
You're giving them an aggravation sensation.
Cha-ching!
There it is.
That's a buck.
There you go, Matt.
You paid it off. Thank you, Matt. That's the way it goes.
I figured you guys needed it. Happy holidays, boys.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. I was like, is that it? And it was.
And that's it. That's going to be
and
it.
And that's fine. All right. Should we do your quarterback and coach combo tiers?
Yeah,
I think
else,
this is
Rocky.
This
that
is.
Was it. I
all right. No, that was enough.
that's an all timer.
Oh gosh. All right. No, lay this out for everybody.
Well, where we are is toward the end of the NFL season, and the Niners aren't going to make the playoffs, and everybody wants a lot of change, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, either don't pay Brock or do pay Brock or whatever you want to do. I think that the baseline to all of our discussion is the reality that they're going to pay Brock Purdy, and they're going to keep Brock Purdy as a quarterback. And it had me thinking about where the Niners are in relation to every other team in the NFL, because if there's one thing you need to have in the NFL in order to be good, it is a good head coach and a good quarterback. And if you don't have both, it's going to be really difficult, I think, for you to be a good team consistently in the NFL. So I was starting to think, Mark, about all 32 teams and where the Niners fall in the coach quarterback combo tier, so to speak.
Okay. All right. So what? How many tiers are there?
Four tiers.
All right.
And I laid it out where there is the you've got both. You've got the tier two is you have one, but you're not sure about the other. Tier three is you're not sure about either or both. And tier four is you don't have either
one. You definitely have neither.
So let's start with tier four because it's easy.
Can I ask you one question about your email?
Of course.
Okay,
yeah.
Just before we start, I noticed that the Rams are both in tier one and tier four. So I'm wondering who that was actually supposed to be.
The tier four would be LAV.
Got it. Okay,
yeah.
So that's
thank
typo.
You for that because
I just want to make sure I knew what was going on.
No, so it's funny because I went through it.
LVR.
Yes.
LVR.
As I went through it, I counted 31 teams, and I had forgotten a team, and it was Tampa Bay. And so I ended up putting them in a tier that maybe they don't belong in.
Okay.
We can debate the tiers, right. But for me, tier four, you have neither. The Jets, Cleveland, Tennessee, Vegas.
The Raiders.
The Giants and Carolina. For me, you don't have a quarterback.
I think that's fair.
And you don't have a coach.
That's fair.
Now, the Giants, you may love Brian Daboll. I don't. They may keep him. I'm not sure if they will. But for me, those six teams have neither a coach nor a quarterback.
Okay. I will co-sign on the six teams that that you mentioned.
There. And I apologize for the typo.
That's okay.
I was trying to raise a two-year-old, make lunch, and I was doing like seven things at once.
It happens.
Yeah, it's no excuses. Tier three, you're not sure about either, or you're not sure about both of those spots. Miami, for me, is tier three. You're not sure about the coach, and you're not sure about the quarterback.
They're paying them like they're sure about him, but I hear what you're saying.
Indianapolis is another one. Dallas, I don't think you're sure about the coach or the quarterback. Chicago, New England, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and New Orleans.
Yep. Although, I mean, I kind of almost want to drop New Orleans down to tier four.
Yep.
Just because I don't think anyone's under the impression you're actually going to ever do anything special with Derek Carr. And they're in coach limbo as well. Yep. So, but fair, a point well taken.
Yeah, and Atlanta's the other one because, you know, you're in a spot where...
No, you got a first-round draft pick, though. So,
right,
like,
but
he
you're
might
not
be.
Sure.
No, of course not. He hasn't played yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that one, to me, was a tough one. Tier two is you have one coach or quarterback, but you're not sure about the other. And I look at Pittsburgh, where you've got Mike Tomlin. You're still sure about him, the quarterback. I mean, he's been good this year, but when Russ is gone, is it going to be Fields? Cincinnati, you love the quarterback, the coach, I'm not sure about. Denver, you love the coach, and the quarterback looks to be a dude, but the jury's still a little bit out for me.
Well, anybody who's only played, you know, 10 games or so in their career, you know, even your next team, for example, Jaden Daniels.
Right.
I mean, I would certainly bet on him, but you never know which way it's going to go.
You know, I also think the coach is still, I mean, Dan Quinn is a guy who's had a great year, but I'm not sure if he's a real one. And then I added in Minnesota. You don't know about your future quarterback.
Right.
And then Seattle and Arizona, I think you like the coach early on in both spots, but you're not sure about the quarterback.
Okay, so brings us to what we're trying to get to, which is tier one. These are the teams you believe that you firmly have both in place.
Right, and this is where I believe you absolutely have to be a real team. And we talk about Kansas City, of course, and Buffalo. I put Philadelphia in. Sirianni's a guy who it's easy to deride, but I mean, this year it sure seems like
they've been successful.
Right.
So, like, I even have, like, Buffalo, I'm not ever overly impressed by McDermott.
Right.
They win. They haven't won in the end, but, you know, you got Josh Allen.
Yep.
He's winning divisions. He's going to the playoffs every year. You got to give him the credit that's there.
And my other top tier teams are Detroit and the Chargers, Baltimore, Houston, Green Bay, the Rams, Tampa, and the Niners.
Okay, so that's a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 teams.
Tampa was the last one I added because, you know, I like the coach, and the quarterback has been good, but I'm not sure, you know, they probably are more of a tier two, honestly.
Well, and the Rams one is interesting, too, because I won't argue your point, but also I don't know how much time Stafford's got left, and I don't know that they're actually going to threaten to do things in the playoffs as they are currently constructed. I can't argue that one. Tampa, same thing. Look, the guy's producing. I know that we don't see him as a long-term play, but the bottom line is he's producing and he's still young. You know what I mean? Like, he's not...
Not
he's,
even 30, right?
No, he's not even 30. So, I don't have much issue with that, but what we're essentially looking at here is, at best, only a third of the league can claim they feel good about quarterback and coach.
Together, exactly.
Correct.
Which had me thinking about the whole idea about Brock and, oh, he's not worth 60, he's not worth 55, he's not worth whatever he's worth or not worth. He's worth it because you have to be in this group, I believe, to be a real team. Shanahan is signed. Shanahan's been successful. Brock Purdy's been successful. So if you want to be a part of this elite group, and if you look at these teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, Philly, Detroit, Chargers, Baltimore, those are all playoff teams. Houston and Green Bay, playoff teams. Tampa, right now, a playoff team. The Rams, trending. The Niners, the only one in this group not a playoff team. But if you get rid of your quarterback and you go into next year with another quarterback, whoever that is, you're suddenly not in tier one, and how does that help you?
That's the thing that I always kind of get to, and I try to do this with any situation. We've all got our opinion, but before you really bring juice behind it, try to spin around to the other side and look at it from the opposite angle, and if you still feel firmly about the way you feel, great. Then it's time to ride with it. But when you look at the Brock conversation, and you hear people go, this is not a $60 million quarterback. And again, because of not knowing the structure of the deal
right.
and the funny money of the NFL, I don't know why we still do that. 55, 60 means something completely different for one guy than it might in a different contract. Before you go down that road, before you jump in with Colin Cowherd and the rest of the world who's ready to make some hay in the world of content by going, this is not a $60 million quarterback, and the Niners should do something different. All right, spin around to the opposite side and see if you actually believe, because you'll say Brock is not worth 60, and my question is, what are the Niners worth without him?
Exactly.
That's my question. So whenever you want to stick this number on it, ask yourself next year, with Brock Purdy not on the team, what in God's name are the 49ers doing with this fancy roster and your Super Bowl or bust mentality?
Exactly. And I had somebody on Twitter earlier today say, well, you can use your mid-round pick to get the next quarterback.
I mean.
And, you know, we can run through the last 4 years of first-round quarterbacks, and we can see that 16 of the 20 have not gotten extensions with their team.
Stop comparing Brock to other quarterbacks and compare what the 49ers would be with him and versus without him.
Exactly.
And that's where you get your value. They'd suck without him. Suck. Out loud. Presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We can take your calls, 888-957-9570. We'll circle back to the Warriors. And in fact, in less than a half hour, if you missed our, I think, news-making and wide-ranging conversation with Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area, we'll have that for you around the bend as well on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Last one's just amazing. It's just, who is that? Is that Sedano? Who is it?
No, it's our guy from Pittsburgh. I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, Filippone.
Filippone.
Pony.
That's a
great question.
He got there.
Yeah. Pony has done it again.
Is that the source you want telling you it's a good question?
Exactly.
I want anyone saying that. Anyone.
I think this one was actually towards you, Dibs.
Yeah, the Filippone one?
Yeah.
I disagree. But anyway, yeah.
Whatever, you try to take all of them. I get that.
I do.
Well, because you ask all of them.
Ball hog.
Totally.
Yep. That's how
I had a dollar for every time you give me the inch signal that you want to follow up.
See, here's more Filippone.
That's not what I'm saying when I do that.
That's a really good question, Dibs.
Yeah. Oh,
so that's a different one.
What is this one?
That's different.
That's a really good question, Mark.
Oh, that's Roxy.
That's Roxy.
Never mind.
Roxy. Game recognized game.
Yeah, my
cut
boy.
Cut from the same cloth.
My
Alan.
Boy.
Go Alan Bernstein.
Back. Yep.
That still is one of my all-time favorite moments in 95.7 The Game history.
Which one?
When he and I were hosting together, and I said, the snatch. And he said, please explain.
I didn't know the front part of it.
And I said,
I just know the please explain.
Please explain.
And I said, because we were talking about Olympic events, and I said, what about the snatch?
Please explain.
I said, I'll let my kids watch the snatch, but not the clean and jerk.
Wow.
I thought that was very funny. It actually was at the time. And
yeah.
Roxy, of course, also thought it was funny, but he did the classic, which is
don't talk about that.
And you don't actually laugh.
No, you don't say anything.
And I put him in an awkward spot, which is what I do to people like Roxy.
He did not want to be associated with your humor.
Right.
I've been there.
It's edgy, but it was funny. It's an Olympic event, right? Weightlifting, you people know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I don't.
Whatever. Holiday book.
Anyway, you want to hear from some Steve Kerr after losing by 51?
Would love to.
Check it.
It was just a humbling night all around. I mean, they took it to us. They were great. We, just couldn't get anything going first quarter. They took us out of their stuff. They did a great job defensively, and everything just went south from there. So give them credit, but, we got a lot of work to do, clearly.
Okay. How about a little more, Steve?
Humbling means what it means, right? You lose by 51. That's humbling. So, what I know about this team, I mean, this is the second time we've been blown out. We got blown out in Cleveland early in the season. So I know who we are. I know what our team is about. I know we've got competitors. I know we're going to bounce back and we're going to regroup. So I'm not concerned about that, but we got a lot of work to do to execute and, learn how to execute under pressure and take care of the ball and get good shots. And so as I said, regroup tomorrow in Minneapolis and, have a practice and get ready to go Saturday.
Yeah, I don't obviously.
He's so elite.
Well, why? What are you pointing at?
I'm pointing out his choice of words, humbling.
Yeah.
He avoids words like embarrassing, unacceptable, unconscionable. Humbling.
Why would he do that?
Because it was all those things and more.
I don't think he uses that word. See, I don't think he believes that. I think that's an us
He doesn't
thing.
Think that it was embarrassing?
I bet not.
Well,
honestly.
I think the team thought it was embarrassing.
Maybe.
And I think they said
did anybody
much.
Else use that word?
I thought Steph and Draymond did.
Draymond said we got our butts kicked.
Right.
Got our asses kicked. I don't think we used embarrassed.
Humbling is just humbling is a great way to describe it where, because when you're humbled, it's like, there's reflection. When you get humbled, it's like, man, that was humbling, and I'm going to take that moment, and I'm humbled, and I'm going to use it to grow and reflect, and we're going to, darn it, we're going to come back and be better. Well, and it's just a great way.
But he's also the coach. He's not a player.
Right. It's just an elite way to describe what that was.
Yeah, it's a way, like, don't throw your guys under the bus until it's time to throw your guys under the bus. Again, Steve said to us a few weeks ago, this will stick with me forever. He's like, I do not go out there at a press conference and say things that I have not strategically thought about saying. And you'll know when it's time to go after one of your players. He famously did it to Brandon Pajemski 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He was banging on the table throughout the entire press conference because he decided this is the moment. I need to ramp. My message is not getting there. It is time to ramp this thing up. I do not think that when you get a new starter onto the team, it's your first game in a week. I was stunned at how poorly they played. But I don't think that's the time for Steve to grab someone and pull them behind the woodshed and start whacking them in a press conference. And by the way, I bet you half the time he comes out and he's so polished in front of the microphone, I bet you he was screaming behind closed doors or at least striking a different tone.
Sure. Sure.
And I don't know about screaming, but you
exactly
like a different
what's to scream about. You got humbled, and
I would imagine there's some things.
Right. And that's where in the emotion afterwards, you have a chance to settle down and look at the film, and that's when you can really impart your messages. And Steph Curry actually did call it embarrassing.
Okay. So, yeah, here we go.
First time for everything, right? I never thought that'd be a situation or result of the game. Just from the very jump, they just kind of punched us in the mouth. We didn't have an answer. They shot the ball well. We were getting the ball at the basket every possession. They were funneling us to the spots on the court that they wanted us instead of the other way around. It was a tough, tough night, obviously. Something you have to accept as if you don't have an answer for, how a team's guarding you. You got to figure something out on the fly. We didn't do it and didn't think it'd be 50. But thankfully, we had guys that kept our energy up in the second half, second unit that came out and played, but that was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, well, he was on the floor, and he's the star player.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't use that word if I was the coach, unless I was really trying to send some sort of an emotional message to the team. And last night's probably not the time to do that.
Maybe not. I mean, if you fall to Minnesota tomorrow and you lose by 38, maybe the messaging is a little bit stronger.
I mean, Steve pointed out, he's like, this has happened twice. We have been blown off the floor twice in 26 games.
Yeah.
I don't think that's that alarming. I was surprised, I was annoyed. I was turned off. I turned it off.
Literally turned it off, yeah.
Yeah, all of those things. But I don't think, at least not yet, while I'm going to acknowledge concerns for the Warriors, I'm not going to take last night as a characteristic of the Warriors. Certainly not yet.
Well, it's on the resume, unfortunately, and I do think that it is disturbing the fact that you hadn't played in about a week, and that's what you come out with. And
you're
going up against a team that has been really good over the last month, and I know you beat Memphis earlier in the year, but they're different now, and you've got a brand new shiny object, number 71, and you have this great rest, and you go out there, and that's what happens. You go down 13-2, and that's the effort you give. And Steph is right. You know, they were funneling the Warriors into spots instead of the Warriors dictating, and they were never able to get anything going.
T-Bone in Berkeley on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, T-Bone. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm a teacher. That's why I wanted to give a shout out to all the teachers that have earned this week too.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be a teacher, as you know. And a lot of these trades remind me of what happened to me today with the emails of, what can I do to raise my grade? And it's after not doing any work for the past 2 weeks,
oh,
it almost feels like it's a little too late.
Every time, right?
What do you teach, T-Bone? Are you a high school teacher?
Middle school in your area of the woods, Dibs, in San Rafael. There's a middle school in San Rafael.
Yeah, Davidson Middle. Great middle school there, Davidson. One of the better, diverse educational environments in Marin County, I would say.
It's fantastic. I really enjoy teaching there. It's a wonderful place to teach. Wonderful kids. They work really hard. I even get to coach the 8th grade girls basketball team. So
love
it. Get a lot of fun out of that.
Hey, T-Bone, when a student does come to you on the last day of the semester and they've done very little work and they say, what can I do to raise my grade? How do you answer that question?
I take a few moments to not say what I really think.
Yep.
'Cause the answer is, you could have done your work, but hey, we didn't do that. So I like to kind of figure out a way to say that, but then I always try to throw them a bone like, hey, I guess you could look stuff up and send me something for partial credit.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
The correct answer is build a time machine and go back to October and pull your head out.
Well, I mean, T-Bone, at least you're still holding him accountable for something. I've been stunned, and this feels very post-pandemic for the most part. How many teachers just accept assignments whenever the hell they get turned in, even if it's at the last minute?
Oh, because a lot of times it's just easier to do that because you don't deal with any parental flack or pushback. But it's not the right lesson. I mean, one of the things, I just want you to turn it in on time. I don't care if it's done. And, can I have another? No, turn it in.
T-Bone, I tried this last week, right? I was having some family stuff, and the boss here, Matt Nahegan, is like, come on, man. We got to fight through this. And I'm like, how about this, Matt? I'll do another show in a couple weeks. How about that? I'll just do a show in a couple weeks. It didn't work.
And that's the whole thing. We're trying to teach these young people and students like life lessons, like on time, turn it in on time.
Seriously.
Done or not.
Yeah. Hey,
complete it or not.
T-Bone,
enjoy your break.
T-Bone, before your warrior point, stand by. Don't hang up. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.